You are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
I want to continue tonight to talk to you on the journey from the pit to the palace, the journey of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in a servant that a man be found faithful. Say it again, say faithful. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, the Bible says, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We know in the world people reward talent. In the church we are to reward faithfulness. Bible says most men will each proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Lift your hand tonight and say, I'm a faithful person. Doesn't mean that gifted people are not automatically faithful, but it means that we should reward faithfulness in the church, and that God rewards faithfulness. God looks for faithfulness, not talent, not gift. I mean, everybody has huge dreams, huge visions, and everybody wants to start at the top, but we know that God will take you on a journey. Sometimes you may find yourself where you thought life should not take you. But that is exactly where God places you. Just like Joseph, after he had a dream, he was sold into slavery, and then the journey began. Psalm 105, after he reaches the palace, the Bible is very clear that the Lord sent a man before them. I want you to know tonight that God is in control sometimes when things seem out of control. Say it tonight. Say, God is in control of my life. Hallelujah. You're not talking to me right now. Say, God is in control of my life in Jesus' name. Sometimes people join churches with a mindset, the attitude, well, use me or lose me. Well, bye. People come, they say, Pastor, don't you know who that was? A rich young ruler? I say, no. I see an unfaithful man who never learned to be servant. Because Jesus himself said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant. We live in a time where a young generation, gifted and talented, graced by God, wants the boardroom and not start in apprenticeship. Well, we're going to talk about that, and I believe that this series, concluding tonight, is one of the most important series you will ever learn. And if you will live this way and understand the times and the seasons of God, you will get from the pit, through the pot, Potiphar's house, through the prison, to the palace. Because that's where God means for you to be. Say a good amen. So God is not impressed by the size of your head, but he is impressed by the size of your heart. Because God doesn't see the way man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. That's why God chose David. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13 verse 22, after Saul ruled 40 years, God removed him from the office and put King David in his place with this commendation. I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart. Or another translation says, a man after the heart of God who will do what I tell him, or who will do all my will. So God comes and he chooses David, a shepherd boy, to be the king of Israel. God doesn't go to the palace, God goes to the country. He sends Samuel to the house of Jesse to find the most unlikely person to become the next king of Israel. Now, what was so special about David? David was a faithful man when nobody was watching. Looking after his father's sheep, God knew that he would be faithful to look after his sheep. Because God understands, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the greater things. If you are unfaithful in the little things, you will be unfaithful in the greater things. Meaning, if you can't look after your mini 1980 Oldsmobile, you will not look after the Porsche that you believe in God for. If you cannot look after the bachelor's flat and keep it clean and tidy, you are not ready for a house. If you can't look after your room, you're not ready to own your own house. If you cannot look after a home cell, you are not ready for a church or your own business. Come on, somebody say amen or ana in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Faithful. I mean, people want reward. God is looking for faithfulness. People want rulership. God gives servanthood. People want to live with a demanding attitude. God says, learn to be servant. Learn to be faithful. The word faithfulness from the Oxford Dictionary again says, remaining loyal and steadfast. It means to be reliable and true. You are dependable. You are trustworthy. You are somebody of your word. You are somebody that when you're employed in a company, the company is better because of you. Okay, I know it's not a lot of shouting stuff, but this will save you. Because a lot of people have a dream, but they never get from the dream. They never get to the palace, and they wonder why. And very often it is this little thing that people overlook that God never overlooks. Because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks at the little things. God rewards the little things. God sees the little things. God watches when nobody else is watching to bless you, not to judge you, not to condemn you. Amen? I mean, we have a promise in the Word of God that God says you will be the head and not the tail. And let me tell you tonight, I believe we're living in a time where God is going to fast-track people. God is going to hasten things in the lives of people. Those who were faithful in the field, come on, God will promote them to the palace. If that's for you tonight, say amen and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, hallelujah. So the Bible is clear, and the world should understand this as well, that before people are rewarded with responsibility, they should be tested with faithfulness. Again, everybody will go through a season of trying and testing. It's in the Bible. Nobody has a vision and walks into a boardroom with a six-figure salary. Nobody starts there, so get over it. It is a journey. Say with me tonight, say journey. Say journey of faithfulness that will be rewarded. Say, faithfulness is rewarded. I want you to say it because you believe yourself more than me. Amen. Because people always neutralize the preacher. They say it's easy for him to talk. Well, I also had to start 30 years ago. This year in September, I'm celebrating 30 years of full-time ministry by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I didn't start, yeah, this building didn't just happen. Bloemfontein didn't just happen. I had a great vision and God sent me to a coffee shop to make hamburgers and hot dogs and waffles and crumpets. Everything I hated to do, that was my calling. I mean, I wanted to go preach the gospel. I want to evangelize the world. I want to save souls. I want to have 10 crusades. And God says, okay, I know what I've called you to do, but I know what's lacking in you. So let's go, Johnny. Let's go where you don't want to go. Let's go to the coffee bar. Let's go teach your attitude. Let's go see whether you will be faithful making crumpets and waffles and pancakes. I can make crumpets, hot dogs, I can make anything, but I won't. Because I got delivered. I mean, today people think if it doesn't feel good, they don't want to do it. Suck it up, Jack. You want to get to the palace. There are many things that God will require you to do that doesn't feel good. Don't think when it's the call of God and the blessing of God, every day will be sunshine and roses. No. You believe God for a great dream, God takes you to the prison. God takes you to the pot. God takes you to Potiphar's house. God takes you to a place of obscurity, a place where nobody watches you, a place where you have to learn to check and control your attitude so that God can promote you. Because my Bible says promotion does not come from the south, from the east, or from the west, but from the Lord. And I want to tell somebody here tonight that if God blesses you, if God promotes you, if God favors you, no one can demote you. Oh, come on. It's a good time to shout hallelujah and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody wants the palace. They miss the most important thing, the journey. That everything you do matters. Every day of your life determines your future. Your attitude today determines your altitude tomorrow. So you can grit your teeth and smile when the boss walks in, but when the boss is not there, you have him for breakfast with your wife. And God doesn't sleep. God says, not ready. He's not the professor at university that feels sorry for you and says, okay, let's give him a degree in any case. He just says, redo. Well, I don't like this church. I'm going to find myself another church because nobody recognizes me. Nobody sees I'm a tomato. I'm a tomato. Can't you see I'm a tomato? I'm a tomato. Well, you're acting like a potato. That's why nobody knows you are a tomato.
You don't have to tell us who you are. Just be who you are.
Be a blessing.
Be faithful.
Be where God placed you, and God will find you out. Boaz will find you out. Come on. Potiphar will find you out. Promotion will find you out. If you will learn just to lower yourself and be whatever you can, wherever you are, be faithful with every moment and every opportunity.
You learn one thing in this journey, and that is that God never sleeps. That God is out to get you, not with judgment, but with blessing, with favor, to lift you up. More often than not, we cause the delays in our life because we are not faithful. Because we think we deserve the palace, God says, that's where you're going, but I'm first proving you over here. I say, but God, I've done this there already. God says, I know you did it there already, but you became unfaithful there, got a bad attitude, got offended, left, and now you're somewhere else. God says, now let's start all over again. You write the exam again. You don't start at question 57 out of 70. You start at question one again. You have to start the whole examination paper. That's why you don't want to bail out of the process of God, because well, God will take you back to one. No student fails an exam, and then when he rewrites the exam, he starts at question 57. He has to start from the beginning. How many people prolong the journey of God because they don't like the journey? Because they have a big heart, a big head, and a small heart. God is impressed by a big heart and a small head. Like David, who remained a shepherd boy. Although he was king, he remained a servant in the house of God. Can we have some servants in the house of God? Even though you're a director of a company, even though you're a great sportsman, can we have servants in the house of God? Come on, people who know they are yet to serve the will of God by the grace of God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, come on, say I'm a servant. Say it. Say I'm a servant. So the Bible is clear that faithfulness is rewarded after tested. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A good work, not a title. I want to be a pastor, it's a good work. Amen. Not I'm prophet, bishop, apostle, and you have nobody following you. Like, I'm a pastor, where's your congregation? I meet people all the time. They say, oh, I watch you on television, I'm a bishop. I say, okay, bishop of what? Well, I just gave myself a title. Your title means nothing. Your self-importance will get you nowhere. He that would be great in God's kingdom learn to be servant. Serve in your grace. That doesn't mean you're weak. It means you serve confidently in the grace that is upon your life. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, an apostle by the will of God, not by the will of man. So you better discover who you are meant to be, and you better be who God made you to be without apology, and then be faithful in the journey like Paul was for 14 years after his divine encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul disappears and is taught by Jesus Christ, the Pauline revelation. He is taught. So there is no time frame. Sometimes people pray and they put God in a time frame. I want you to know tonight, God doesn't live in a time frame. God doesn't live in our time frame. God is time. God is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. A day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, or 1,000 days is like a year with God. So, I mean, 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? So your time frame, when you get impatient to say to God, by the end of this year, you better watch it. Because God says, by the end of the season. And your attitude will determine the season. I mean, where have you ever seen a pot in the hands of a potter saying, I'm ready? Wherever have you seen a potter at the wheel making something beautiful and the vessel jumps off and says, that's enough now? No. The potter has power over the clay and he is making the thing. And then if he doesn't like, everybody may like it, he doesn't like it, what does he do? He smashes it flat again and he starts all over again. Some of you are on the potter's wheel. You don't know what's happening, but God is forming something beautiful. Come on, in you, so that God can form something beautiful through you. Come on, God is at work in you. Oh, come on, both to will and do his good pleasure. God knows exactly where you are and he's not about to abandon you. You're in the hands of the potter. You are in safe hands. Don't you jump off the potter's wheel. You just be. So what do you mean, Pastor? Be faithful in the process. Be faithful in the journey. Be faithful where God places you. Be faithful in your relationships. Be faithful with your conversation. Be faithful in your attitude. Because God rewards faithfulness. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. Say amen. Or OB. Or Aina. Now verse 8 says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, likewise deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for wine, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. I mean, here's the Bible. You don't employ a pastor whose wife is a slanderer, because leadership in the church is a reward. So when you Paul says, thank God who counted us faithful, putting us into the ministry. Any form of ministry, whether it's a home cell leader, a deacon, a door greeter, is God promoting you, a musician. So if God found you faithful, you never want to become unfaithful. Because God rewards. God will bring people to leaders' attention in the business world, political arena, sport arena. The man who is faithful will progress in life. The Bible is very clear. Maybe not the way you think you should progress, but you will progress. You will come at the end of your life and say, wow, God is good. God has been good to me. God has been wonderful, because you will see your life in context. You will not see your life in days, weeks, and months, and years. The older you get, the more you realize that you have time. Young people think they have no time. Learn to be patient. Learn to be faithful in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It never stops, the journey of faithfulness. Every day, every month when you get your salary, you are required as a servant of God to be faithful. Faithful is how we live. Faithful is what we imitate. God is faithful. Say amen. Proverbs 25 verse 19, the Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint. So faithfulness is to remain loyal, steadfast, constant. Another definition to help us tonight from the Webster's translation. Faithfulness means, listen, having or showing true and constant support or loyalty. Something that's very scarce today, because people are fickle. They show loyalty and support while they feel good. Well, God goes faithful. He says, God goes further. He says, be faithful in season and out of season. Be committed. I mean, when Jesus went to the cross, it didn't feel good for him, but he was committed. He could pray down 12 legions of angels, but he did not, because he was faithful to the Father's will. Faithful. When people mocked him, scourged him, killed him, he remained faithful to the end. And in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, his name is Faithful and True. So may we be like him. Faithful and true. When Jethro talks to Moses to appoint leaders over the nation of Israel, he says, appoint able men, men of truth. What is a man of truth? Man of truth is a faithful man. His yes is yes, his no is no. If he says the sun is shining, you don't have to go look whether the sun is shining. You can bank on what he says. A scarce commodity today is a man who does not try and catch you with a fine print. It say to the businessman here today, you may be very smart. Bible says, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. You don't want to use the fine print to catch people out there, because God is not asleep. God can bless you without being devious. God can bless you without taking a bribe. God can bless you without doing things the world's way. Come on, say amen in the name of Jesus. Be a person of integrity. Be honest. Be upright. Be noble. Many of you say to that girl, I love you, do you? Or you're trying to get her in bed. Hello? I love you. Really? Explain that love. Well, I have a feeling. Well, what feeling? Explain that feeling. I'm burning. Right? That ain't love. Now, let's listen again today. Praise God. Praise God. Bless God. I
I don't know if I'm going to get there tonight, but the way you respect the Word of God, that's why last Sunday night I rebuked a few young people walking around while I preached the Word of God. Your level of respect to the Word of God will determine everything in your life. Everything. Because the Word of God is exalted above the name of God. You want to show the utmost respect to the Word of God. More than anything in your life, you want to show respect to the Word of God. And faithful. Come Sunday, you don't want to miss church because there's a few raindrops or cold weather. What's that? I mean, imagine Jesus going to the cross and there's a little bit of cold weather and he says, you know, we want the soft mollycoddle Christianity, cotton wool Christianity, where everything must just be ready and there must be no challenge and no journey. Everything must just be comfortable, lullaby, goosebump, because God loves us. Sure. Every child that is born, we start that way, but then we have to start walking. And we walk and we fall and we bump ourselves, we bruise ourselves. We are taught to fight our own battles. We are taught to persevere. We are taught to overcome. We are taught to get back up again. Come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We need to walk because God gave us feet. We need to make decisions because God gave us a mind. Every day of our life, we need to get up with renewed determination in this journey of God and put yesterday behind us. No matter how bad yesterday was, tomorrow can be better. Every day the mercies of God are new. Every day I can start all over again. Every day I can start afresh. Every day is a new opportunity, a new possibility in the name of Jesus. I refuse to drag the baggage of yesterday, the weights of yesterday, the heaviness of yesterday. I've got a feeling that something good is going to happen in my life. Come on, because I know that this is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Hallelujah. I choose my attitude every day to be faithful, to get up and go, no matter what happened yesterday, to get up and go with a renewed positive attitude. Because until you don't change your attitude, your life will never change. That's why you need God's grace every day of your life. You walk in the grace of God. When you bump into people and they talk about 10 years ago, it's all they can talk about. Well, I was in a church and the pastor hurt me. 10 years later, hello? I've got a hole in my soul. Come here. How long does it take Jesus to fix you? Verse 8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. Verse 16, you did not choose me. You did not make up your mind you're going to follow God. God chose you 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for you. Before the foundation of the world, God predestined you. You are God's workmanship. You need to discover who God means for you to be and become everything that God means for you to be by the grace of God. And not live life with apology. Not live life second rate. Get some unction in your gumption. Get some self-pride. Get some dignity. Get some self-worth through Christ in Jesus' name. Begin to live the life that God has for you. Every day, check your bad attitude before you get out of bed. Get up with a fresh new attitude, believing that God is for you, that things can be better. That your break can come at any moment. Your promotion can come at any moment. That God is watching you to bless you, to grace you, to promote you. You keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful with the little things. Keep on being faithful with a little paycheck. And the big paycheck will come in the name of Jesus. Be faithful with the cents and God will bless you with rands. Be faithful as a student and God will bless you with a salary in the name of Jesus. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you, listen, that you should go and bear fruit. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Faithfulness equates to fruitfulness. Same, I want you to close your eyes, forget about everybody, everything. This is your personal decision with Jesus tonight. Everybody there in Bloemfontein, all of our churches, wherever you are. This is the greatest moment of your life. Even greater than the day you get married. And that was a great day in my life. Even greater than when my children were born. And those were great days in my life. Was the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Pray this prayer right now. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I accept you right now as my Lord and Savior.
I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Please forgive my sin. Give me the power tonight to be a child of God. Thank you for loving me and for accepting me just as I am. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that I'm yours forever. You are my God. I will follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.